I'm Jim Wigington. I'm a research hydrologist at the EPA lab in Corvallis, Oregon. Back in 2002, we became involved in a watershed scale study in the West Fork Smith River, a coastal Oregon stream, not unlike the one we're standing next to, in which we were tracing how coho salmon use the whole stream network. So it's a 67 square kilometer watershed with some major tributaries that come in. And one of our questions really at that time was, what are the locations and characteristics of the habitat located within this whole stream network that are used by the fish, and where do the fish actually end up having the highest numbers when they go out to the ocean, and what locations do they have the best condition? We have tagged thousands of fish using small passive integrated transponders called pit tags, and that allows us actually to be tracing where these fish are throughout the stream network. So in essence, we were able to insert a small tag inside the body cavity of a young coho salmon. And it really, when you get a transceiver or sort of electronic device near it, well, the tag will send out a signal to the electronic device, and it's almost like a barcode because it will give an individual identification to a fish. So we're able now, by scanning the stream, able to locate where the fish are that we have tagged and trace where they've been moving throughout the stream network.
My name is Scott Leibowitz, and I'm a research ecologist at the Western Ecology Division in Corvallis, Oregon. The real thing the pit tag allowed us to do is, in the past, people could tag fish and mass, like you might use a particular color to be associated with fish from a particular reach, and that would help you identify a particular subpopulation, but you weren't able to identify individual fish. With the pit tag, you're basically putting a barcode on each fish, so when the fish is initially tagged, they're weighed and their condition is assessed, and then when they go out later and they catch the fish again, and then they can weigh it again, and then they know exactly how much weight that particular fish gained, what its condition was, how that might have changed between the two times, and if we happen to see that fish at some other locations, we could tell some about where it moved. So you're actually starting to be able to come up with histories of individual fish, as opposed to just characterizing the fish as a group of a large number of fish.
A lot of salmon studies in the past have really focused on sort of looking at small stream reaches, maybe hundreds of meters of long. So we're trying to look at the whole stream network, where this comes into the whole question about jurisdictional waters and headwater streams. Some of our streams in the West Fork Smith River have intermittent stream flow. And what that really means is that they flow only seasonally. We have here in Oregon both a wet season and a dry season. So for about 9 months of the year, we get quite a bit of rain. But in the summer, it dries up, and we get very little precipitation. And consequently, the upper portion of some of the streams throughout the Coast Range, and in this case in the West Fork Smith River, will actually stop flowing. We may have residual pools that will sustain fish. But as it became evident that the EPA Office of Water were interested in this question about the role of intermittent streams, we realized that we had some really good data that looked at how fish could actually use these streams from a habitat standpoint. So we were able to look at how fish overwintered in them, how adult fish would spawn in these streams. And lo and behold, what we found out was that actually, these provide pretty good habitat. Some of these intermittent streams in this particular watershed had some of the best spawning sites. So we actually got a large number of the adult salmon coming back to these locations. And we found that as the juveniles would overwinter there, and then as the stream would dry out in the summer, there would be fish that would hold over in some of the isolated pools, even though the stream wasn't flowing. And then the other thing that would happen is that when the stream flow came back up in the fall with the fall rains, actually fish would move from the main stem of the river, which it had flow all summer, and actually move back up into these small streams. And then actually, because there hadn't been many fish up in the stream, we hypothesized that there's a lot of insect and other invertebrates available for them to feed. So actually, the fish that came out of there were in very good shape. So as we traced them moving out to the ocean, we found that they were at least as productive as some of the more perennial streams. So even though they're at the upper ends of the stream network, what is the downstream influence? Well, we have a very mobile organism. The salmon is coming up from the ocean, ends up utilizing the upper portions of the stream network, and then when they leave to the ocean, these intermittent streams actually make a significant contribution to the downstream populations.